This is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. U.S. Census figures show that Bexar County is growing at double the national rate. Between 2010 and 2015, the county grew by 10.7%, and more are coming. 1 million more people are expected to call this area home in the coming years by 2040. But if the city doesn't get ahead of the growth with better infrastructure, roads, schools, planning, incentives to grow the to control the growth, then things are really going to get ugly. All of this is laid out in an extensive, deep reporting project that was released this Sunday by the San Antonio Express News, The Next Million. Texas Public Radio has been doing our own exploration of these topics with our series that we have titled Growing Pains. And this is a topic that is of great interest to many people. And the lead reporter in this special project is Viana Davila. And Viana, thank you so much for joining us here in Source.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So what do y'all think about this project and the growth that's happening to San Antonio? Are you concerned? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet us at tprsource. What do you think ought to be done to make sure that the city and the county are doing all they can to make sure the growth is going to be positive? So, Viana, this is a big project, and you've worked a long time on doing the reporting and the writing on this. What is the biggest takeaway that you have from this project?
sort of hard to summarize, but I guess I would say, one, no one should think leaving this that we're trying to say growth can be stopped. I pretty much can't. And a lot of people wouldn't want it to. You know, there's a lot of people who say, look, growth is a sign of a healthy economy. San Antonio, like the rest of the state, keeps growing. And that, in many ways, is a good thing. I think the question we need to ask ourselves is, do we want to grow differently? And if we do, how is that facilitated?
Sure. What kind of mechanisms are available to adjust the growth, where the growth happens, how the growth happens?
Right. And I guess the one other thing I want to say is this series looks a lot at sort of, or this project, at the history of growth, how we've grown up to now, and how that really shapes people's lives. Like, if you have a lack of growth in your area, that could shape the type of schools you have, the type of roads you have. So everyone's experience of growth in San Antonio is very different, and I hope people do leave the project with that.
And you're looking at different phases, different areas. We look at the sprawl, look at what's happening on the south side, what's going on with schools, how the quality of the school districts impacts where the growth is happening, what's happening with inner city development and whether that's going to benefit from the growth, questions about property rights of the growth and the aquifer, and just up and down I-35, and that's really seeing an amazing amount of growth. Where, if I wanted to look at growth in San Antonio, where do I need to first look?
One of the fastest growing areas of literal new housing growth is going to be I think I describe a watch face or a clock face in this story, is from about US 90 to on the west side, far west side, all the way up to about I-10, kind of in the La Cantera, Fiesta, Texas area. So that from about 9 o'clock to midnight or so is where you're having the bulk of new housing growth, particularly outside of 1604 currently. But a ton of it is also happening up the 35 corridor from about 410 in San Antonio all the way up to New Braunfels. And New Braunfels was the second fastest growing city in the U.S. from 2014 to 2015, according to the census. So, I mean, the story is right there as well. San Marcos held that title of fastest growing city in the U.S. for the three previous years, also on the 35 corridor. So I think in terms of the region, the 35 corridor is a big part of this story because, you know, many demographers believe we'll become a mega region, a mega city that will grow into Austin one day. So these issues are city issues and county issues, but they're regional issues as well.
Why all this growth? Why here?
Well, you know, we have a pretty good economy. We have a healthy job market. This has been a relatively affordable place to live. Geographically, I mean, San Antonio is unencumbered on the whole by any, you know, there's no ocean, there's no mountain range. And while this is beginning to change, particularly on the 35 corridor, we're not hemmed in by a bunch of other cities, you know, that stop us.
So we're not landlocked.
We're not landlocked, right.
But it seems like these are a lot of people coming to San Antonio. Really, the growth is driven through by the job market. Is that it?
I think that's part of it, yeah.
And how is this impacting? How are we planning for the transportation. People are kind of wondering, they're stuck in their cars. We're saying, really, a million more people are coming? I don't think there's enough room on the roads for that.
Well, I mean, the question is, how will we plan, I think, not necessarily how are we planning. I mean, we are planning, but what will we get in the future? Because right now we're a very car-centric city. We do have a bus system, of course, but basically, if you're not in a car in the city, you better start walking or you get on the bus.
Our mass transit is not funded at the same levels that other major cities are funded.
Right. And so the city, and part of the – we kind of linked into this in the whole story project. The city has a comprehensive plan called SA Tomorrow. It's a three-pronged plan that city council is set to vote on in August. And one aspect of it is a multimodal transportation plan, the first plan of the such in the city's history. And that looks at what can we do to help with our transit. So that's looking at – maybe light rail, not definitely, maybe. Bus rapid transit, also looking at smart technology. Can we, you know, driverless cars are part of that equation, but also can we have smarter, you know, lights? Can we move accidents off the road more quickly? Because those are major issues for traffic jams. So there's a whole host of things.
I know, it's like one fender bender
right.
can mess up everybody trying to get on Loop 410. You know,
right.
it's like, really? You
right.
know, one guy, he wasn't paying attention.
And the issue is, I mean, I think even if you built everything that's currently in the region's transportation plan, you know, so that includes things that currently are not, you know, on the table to be built but could be, you still wouldn't be able to stop congestion. So I think we really need to look at how, you know, kind of rethink how we think about transportation. The comprehensive plan also looks at these ideas of sort of nodes, regional hubs where people live, work, play is the phrase they use a lot. You know, maybe you don't travel across town to work. Maybe you live closer to your job, so you don't have a ton of traffic, you know, moving all day.
Is anyone looking at who these people are who are coming to San Antonio, who are moving here? Are they coming from, do they have a similar story? Are they looking for similar things? What is it about what's driving them to come here? And how can we just accommodate them in a more smart way?
Well, I think the state demographer had a report a month or two ago that, you know, looked at who in migration, where people were coming from. And I think, I'm going to butcher this, but California was either sent the most people here. It was something like that. And a lot of the people I talked to are from California. I think there's a lot of people saying it's a cheaper housing market here. I think the person in my New Braunfels story that we focused on came from California. The house she owned there was $800,000. It was, I don't know, 200 here, something like that, you know, in a much bigger house. So they see this like wonderful market. To them, the congestion problems we have here really seem less so than compared to California.
Okay. All right. We're going to keep talking with Yana Davila, the San Antonio Express News special projects reporter for the Next Million. Do you have questions? What about growth concerns you? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. What do you want our leaders to get on the stick about here with the growth? 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Back in 1 minute. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Have you noticed that San Antonio has changed over the years? We've gotten a lot more crowded, and it's going to get even more crowded. We were anticipating that by the year 2040, another million folks are going to be moving to San Antonio. What's that going to be like? Are we ready for them? What do we need to do to get ready? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. It's here at TPR. We've been doing a series of stories about this called Growing Pains, and the San Antonio Express News has done this major, impressive, special project called The Next Million, and the lead reporter on this special project is Viana Davila, and she joins us. And we invite your phone calls if you've got a question or comment about growth in San Antonio, 210-614-8980. And Julia has called in. Julia, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. This question is for Viana. Viana, I've watched your reporting over the years about alternative transportation opportunities in San Antonio, and I just wondered if you could comment on how we could advance that agenda so that we do have more choice on our roadways and don't have to rely on single occupancy vehicles to get us from point A to B.
All right, Julia, thank you for calling in. So this multimodal proposal, right. Is this going to be weak tea or are they really serious?
That's a really good question. I mean, money is, well, okay. political and public will is a big factor, and then the other big factor is money.
And reality.
Well, I mean,
we can't build enough roads.
Right. I mean, and that's what many of the people doing the transportation plan are saying. We cannot build ourselves out of this problem. So if light rail is something you want to see, you have to start going to your city and your county officials to push for that, I would say. You know, there's the VIA.
Because the anti-light rail people are very mobilized and they're very vocal.
So they are. They have been. They obviously helped derail the streetcar project that the city, county, and VIA were going to do a few years ago.
Right.
And so let me just put this into perspective. In 2000, there was a vote to raise quarter-cent sales tax here to build a light rail system. And that was going to be over $1 billion. And that was in 2000. That was voted down. Think about this, 16 years later? So think how much that cost is going to increase. That was over $1 billion then. What is it going to be now? Right now, we don't have – our sales tax is currently capped. We can't vote on that. There could be opportunities in a few years if that space opens up. It could take a vote like that. It could take other funding sources. But it's going to take the city and the county and VIA most likely to vote together to do that. Well, streetcar had such a bad reaction a few years ago. I'm guessing that your council members or your commissioners or your transportation commissioners at TxDOT, Texas Department of Transportation in Austin, they're going to want to hear from people that this is what they want if you really want to change the transit system that we have here.
So we got to mobilize on mobility.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Another caller, Brian, is on the line. Brian, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? I have a quick question. I've always wondered, I grew up in this area and I moved away for a while. I came back and saw the explosion. I'm wondering, do the developers have to pay anything to support the infrastructure problems they cause by slamming, you know, six houses on 1 acre and just, you know, this explosion in population in a small area?
All right.
Who's covering the cost of the infrastructure issues?
Okay, Brian, we have impact fees, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say. Developers have to pay various impact fees, water impact fees, traffic impact fees when they do new projects. So some would argue that that is their way of paying for the growth. Often developers are putting in some of the infrastructure up front into a project. You know, if they're building a whole new neighborhood where there are no streets there at the time, they will pay for those. There's some that argue the impact fees should be higher.
Some argue that
they're too high and they're too strict. There's obviously the city's tree ordinance is something that gets debated very often. That's sort of a way to maintain a certain level of tree canopy on properties. But developers say it's too stringent, too confusing, and should be revised.
But the developers, they must be, very excited about the prospect of another million people moving to the area by 2040.
Sure. I mean, but the one thing I want to mention is that the growth, and we say this in the story, the growth doesn't stop at Bexar County's door. I think Gene Dawson of Pape Dawson says that. It will keep going, and we're seeing it. You can see it in the schools. It's going into Comal County. It's going into Kendall County. We said already, it's going up the 35 corridor. So they will have opportunities to build all over mm-hmm. the region if they want to. The question is, I guess, is what do we want in our city? How do you want that development to go, and do you want to influence your city or county leaders to try to change that?
Okay. Sarah has called in. Sarah, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I would like to see some of the single-family residential zoning changed a little bit so that duplexes up to fourplexes and garage apartments could be put in single-family residential neighborhoods. It would make housing a lot more affordable. Uh-huh. Without greatly impacting density. And it's if you go into really old cities, they have those.
Okay.
Right.
And we don't have that here very much.
All right. So thank you, Sarah, for that great call. And so right now it's limited?
You're starting to see more.
By ordinance, or is this just the way things are?
Well, you're starting to see more of basically what she's describing. I'm not saying specifically fourplexes, but it could be our duplexes. Denser housing in technically single-family residential areas. It's called IDZ zoning, and I'm totally blanking on what that stands for right now. You're starting to see IDZ zoning in some inner-city neighborhoods, so inside 410 neighborhoods that are technically single-family, but they're in the urban core, and you are starting to see the development of these more dense housing, like on maybe a vacant lot, like an infill project or a house that got knocked down. The thing is that people often react very badly to those projects. Like, the people that live next door are saying, I don't want that kind of density in my neighborhood. You know, I want it to stay single family housing, or I only want maybe a duplex, not a fourplex. Or what you're also seeing is maybe on a lot, two lots, the, you know, one house each, you're seeing five of these houses. You know, they're just so dense, they're more vertical. And, you know, the city struggles with that because then the longtime residents say, no, I want my neighborhood to stay the same.
So this is when people are saying, we want growth, but we want the right kind of growth. We don't want to change the character of the neighborhoods,
right,
particularly our legacy neighborhoods.
Right. But then what is, you know, I mean, it's just a difficult question. What does it mean to change the character of a legacy neighborhood? And where does the density go then?
Mm-hmm. It's either or more sprawl.
Right.
So
right.
That's,
so it's a very difficult question.
That's the other thing people don't want. Yeah. So, okay. Another caller, Ray. Hey, Ray, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate you taking my question. And I'll ask a quick question and I'll get off the air since I'm driving and take my answer off the air. But I've grown up in San Antonio my whole life. And over the last, really, I'd say 3 to 5 years, I've seen just this giant explosion that we've all seen. And my property tax rises, and of course the tax base expands by all the folks buying new homes. I don't see the infrastructure keeping pace with that collected tax base. And I'm just curious. I don't know how that gets spent or who decides to spend it. But you know, for instance, highways like 1604 and 281 North of 1604 desperately need expansion. The tax base has already been collected. Where is that money going? Thank you.
All right, Ray. Thanks for the call. That's a tough question.
Yeah, I mean, we just finished, the TxDOT just finished an expansion project of part of 1604, actually in this high growth area that we're talking about. And that cost, it's in one of my stories, $8 point something million. It's a huge amount of money, actually. I bet I'm lowballing that. These things are expensive. So, you know, I don't want to argue about whether our taxes go to the right things or not. But the point is that it's never going to be enough to really fix everything, to build highways the way we are, you know, doing it. And he did bring up a point that, you know, there's an annexation issue going on now where some people don't want to be annexed by the city because they feel like maybe their tax dollars aren't going to be spent the way they want. I mean, and that's – a lot of people feel that way. They feel like they don't see that money going back into their communities. But again, I mean, you need to voice that.
Yeah, when they say that into their communities, it's like, oh, that's their community is limited because it's all one community. You know, the people who live on the south side and the north side, we're really connected and we have to be concerned about that. I mean, that's what, by trying to stratify where the funds go, that's limited thinking.
And one of the things we look at in this project is looking at the south side, for example, which has seen far, far less development than the north side. And that affects people in a real way. You're starting to see that change. There's a lot of excitement around the river, the development happening along the San Antonio River on the south side, with the Spanish Colonial Missions getting UNESCO World Heritage status. You're starting to see activity down there. But again, what kind of activity is it going to be? Many people have told me they don't want to be the new north side. They don't want to replicate all of that suburbia. So what will you have down there?
Here's a call from Renee. And Renee, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. What's going to happen to poverty? Is poverty going to grow? Segregation going to continue? Where, you know, subsidized housing is primarily in certain parts of South Side, West Side, Northwest, or is that going to be redistributed with new policy? Any idea on that?
Is this a tide that's going to lift all boats?
That is a really tough question.
Because we already live in a very, you know, segregated
city. Right, income segregated city. I sigh because this is a really hard one. One of the stories we have here is about Dignity Hill, and that, it's inner city, east side, right next to downtown. It's getting a ton of new attention, tons of new residents, raising values. So that would be seen as a good thing, but it's also raising, you know, property taxes. And there's some people there saying, I can't afford this. You know, I can't afford to fix up my home to sort of meet all the new developers that are coming in and fixing up their homes. So am I eventually going to have to leave? That's the difficulty. As you have inner city redevelopment or south side redevelopment, who gets to stay there?
But they're talking about having some sort of housing bond in 2017, which could help stabilize neighborhoods like Dignity Hill and Beacon Hill and other parts of the city around Lanier, also trying to deal with a lot of this growth that's happening.
Right. There's a committee that was formed. It's an outgrowth of another committee that was formed a couple years ago in response to a kind of a gentrification issue, and they're looking at a housing bond. I heard a number. You know what? I'm not even going to say it because it's not confirmed.
It hasn't been released
yet. It hasn't been confirmed or released. But, you know, in the millions, it's just how many millions? And then what do you use those millions for?
Yeah, how's it allocated?
Right. And the city's
and then
looking,
just also talking to county, trying to team up and trying to multiply that number. And
right.
And
will that actually happen?
Yeah. So, but these are some of the issues that are coming up. We didn't even talk about the water. We didn't talk about education, the school districts, how they're being challenged.
Well, and if I can just plug this online, if you'd like to get into this some more, please go to expressnews.com, and look at the series, The Next Million. You can explore all of these. There's videos, there's graphics, and will really, I hope, help San Antonians understand their city as it's really changing.
And but real quickly about the school districts.
Yeah.
One point that you draw up, only got a minute here, is that good school districts are attracting the growth, right?
Right.
And so is that an argument for we need to help develop some of these other school districts to, if we want the growth to spread around the city, we need to help develop some of these other school districts.
Families aren't going to go where they think the school districts are bad. And right now, the reputations, whether it's fair or not, the reputations of many Southside, not all, but many Southside and inner city school districts isn't at the same level of Northside school districts. And you're starting to see that more and more school districts, even further north, Comal ISD, they're having huge growth jumps, whereas something like Edgewood in the inner city, 24% loss over the last 25 years.
Okay, just one of the many issues tackled in this special project that came out on Sunday. You can find it online at the San Antonio Express News website. I want to thank the lead reporter in this series, Viana Davila. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
When we come back from the NPR news break, we're going to be talking about those labels, expiration dates on your food. Are they to be believed? Stay tuned.